Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
And wow, what a weekend.
Wow.
What a change to the NBA landscape. My goodness. In a year in which the MVP was largely determined by injuries, now, and to be honest, even before this weekend, this year's champion could very likely be determined by injuries. So we will get into that and so much more over the next 3 hours here at Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83, however you may be listening. Keep it locked here for the next 3 hours. You will not be disappointed. My partner, as always, is the traveling man, Rob Parker. What's up, man?
What's happening, Mr. Chris Broussard? How are you?
I'm good. I thought to call you on Sunday. I don't know if it was because of the injury to Kyrie Irving or I don't know, but I was going to call you about something. And then I was like, you know, he's probably in the air. He's probably traveling.
So I was traveling back.
You went to Seattle?
Seattle for the weekend. It was great. Great food.
Wow. How was the rain?
Yeah. And it didn't rain until it rained when I was on my way to the airport back, you know, Sunday morning. So actually, it was a beautiful day Saturday. Nike outlet. Some good food.
Now, do they have? It's just a regular Nike outlet, or do they have one like?
Yeah, just a regular one.
Okay. And
you know what? I actually didn't buy anything. It's got to be something special or something. Yes,
Man who has every sneaker.
But if I find something that's unique or you know what I mean or different, then I'll buy it. But I'm not just gonna go and just because we took the trip and it was like an hour trip to get there.
But it's just a regular outlet? I mean, obviously you have those
outlet. It's an outlet mall, has all kinds of shops, but they have a Nike store.
I bet you got something from another outlet, though.
Yeah, I did. I bought a Burberry shirt. You know I did.
Oh, look at you. See, he comes on here bragging about, I didn't even get anything.
No,
and
but
he bought
I didn't get
a $400 Burberry shirt.
No, $220.
Wow. Did I do that?
To sit in his apartment.
Yeah, I know. Like I'm going anywhere, right?
Although I guess pretty soon you'll be out and about.
Starting tomorrow in L.A., right?
It's tomorrow.
What's the deal? I don't even know. What is it? Can we take the mask
off?
Well,
it is tomorrow, June 15th, right? Tomorrow, yeah.
I like this. Like you could Dodger Stadium
100%. I'll be back on Thursday. I'm back Thursday.
No, you're not.
I will be on the East Coast.
You're never coming back. You're never coming back.
We'll never see Chris again, Rob.
Never again.
That's possible. I don't know. We'll see.
No, it's been real.
You know what, Alex? He's saying we'll see. It's no we'll see.
No, there's not.
You'll never be back here. I'd never be back.
You know what's funny, Rob? That's like when your parents, when you're a kid, you're like, can we get McDonald's? They're like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll
never go.
Right. You know what that means.
We will see. That's how I look at it. But anyway, we got our man Vinny Goodwill, Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer, joining us at the bottom of the hour. You've heard the voice of the man, the myth, the legend, DJ Alex Tyshirt, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan on the ones and the twos on a Magic City Monday. Super producer Rob G is in the house. And on the updates, our man, the loquacious one, Brian Finley. All right, Rob, let's get to it. And to me, of course, you and I have spoken since Kyrie Irving went down in this in-game, basically midway through game four, as the Milwaukee Bucks even the series with the Brooklyn Nets at 2-2. I have been on television all day speaking about this series. And from talking to everybody, all our personalities for the most part, at FS1. Your perspective is a unique one. So I'm just going to give you the floor, let you share, and I'm going to respond to this.
I don't think the series is over. I think people, this is what people do because it's just easy. You know, you take a look at the situation, you say, he's out, okay, we're going to lose. I remember when James Harden went down in game one, people were handing the series over to the Bucks. Right away, like, oh, they can't win. Chris, and you, this is before that, you didn't think that they could win without James Harden.
Going right into the playoffs, I didn't think.
You didn't think so. And then they won the first
two
games.
When he got hurt, I looked at the landscape. Mainly because you remember this, Rob. I thought they could get to the finals without Harden, but I didn't think they could beat the Lakers. But once the Lakers were out, then I was like, okay, I'm looking at the landscape. It's just wide open. I still think they can do it. But, yeah, so that was my view.
Right. All I'm saying is it's not impossible. I've just seen so many things here. I think if they would have once Kyrie went down and if Durant had played well yesterday and they got run out the gym, maybe I would feel different. Durant didn't play that great, shot 9 for 25. They lost by 9 or whatever it was at the end. It wasn't like they got run out the gym. So I don't think that it's that. I don't think that it's over. I think there's a good chance you could have both of those guys playing in a game 6 in
Milwaukee.
Well,
if that's the case, of course, it's a whole – I mean,
right.
Nobody thinks it's over if they get back. But you're saying – let's assume you're not saying anything then if you think
I think they're playing.
If you say it's not over because one of them's coming back.
One of them is coming back.
I thought you were saying even if Kyrie Irving and James Harden don't come back or, you know, can't come back effectively, that Kevin Durant and the role players can still beat Milwaukee.
I don't think it's impossible, but I don't believe that. But no. But I got to give you what I believe. I don't believe that the Nets are going to play game 6 and 7 if they get to that far without one of those two guys.
Okay.
James Harden has been out long enough that he could come back for game 6.
Well, I mean, he was out 21 days with the hamstring or 21 games or something like that.
But they were saying he was progressing. He didn't have a setback like the last time. So they were saying he was progressing. So I'm going to go off of the idea of hold them both out for game 5, bring them back for game 6, give it a go, give yourself a chance, and then you could go from there. If you could force a game 7, then you're at home. So I think that's the scenario that will play out. But I believe that the Nets aren't dead yet.
All right. So you're – okay. Then, yeah, if Kyrie and or James Harden can come back for game 6 and 7, I'm with you. I mean, I think the Nets are better with two of their superstars. But I'm assuming, and I don't know, I hope you're right, Rob. I think we all, you know, outside of Milwaukee fans, will hope that the Nets can get healthy. Just to see, you know, it's been a great series and it's a great team that's fun to watch these guys play together. So I'm with you there. But what I'm saying this, and I said it on TV. I did say this on Undisputed. There's some, I don't know. I don't even know what it is. Maybe it's indigestion. There's some feeling deep, deep down inside my soul that won't say 100% the Nets are done. And I mean without Kyrie and Harden. But looking at this thing logically, if Kyrie and Harden don't come back, I cannot believe Kevin Durant will lead the Nets past Milwaukee. This is a Milwaukee team that, look, if they get past Brooklyn, they got as good a shot as anybody to win it. And I think they have too much for Kevin Durant by himself. Because what you said, Durant had a bad game Sunday. What I saw, Rob, I felt Milwaukee forced him into a bad shooting game. And I got to give P.J. Tucker some credit. I know it's help. There's times Chris Middleton's on Durant. Obviously, he's getting help from his team.
Yeah, we'll see if they get the same physical play without calls.
Well, that and there you were. Rob, okay, that game, I hear you, because that's factor.
You've covered the NBA, and they're not going to let them push Kevin Durant around like that in Brooklyn. I guarantee you.
And that's a factor, because you're absolutely right. What they did, we all know that Kevin Durant, at the height of his jump shot, you can't stop him, yep. Right? You can't do anything with him. What they were allowed to do by the referees was get so physical with him, beating him up before he even takes the shot.
Absolutely.
And not allowing him to get to his spaces easily. And look, the way they – I mean, that game, Sunday – and I'll say that it was a great game until Kyrie got hurt. It was some intense, hustle-filled defensive basketball, physical play.
But different from what we've seen and what we're used to in the league. So that's why
it was almost like going back to the 90s, Rob.
Exactly, Chris. And that was my point, is that that's not going to be – trust me, they've heard from Nets ownership and management.
And they want the Nets alive. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying the league's fixing anything.
No, but you know what I'm talking about. You know the league. Like, those calls, they won't get the – you know, you might have Middleton or P.J. Tucker with two fouls in the first quarter. You know how it is, Chris, right? And then all of a sudden, it diffuses what you're able to do. Watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly physical. And because of that, Rob, I think the Nets held Durant down. I don't think he just was missing shots.
I'm just saying it wasn't – he didn't – 9 for 25 is not – Durant is a pretty efficient shooter.
He shot 37% in Milwaukee. Those last two games in Milwaukee, shot 37%. The last time – I'm going to ask you a question. When do you think the last time he shot below 40% – in consecutive playoff games was?
Before his injury?
It was before the injury. It was 2018 when he obviously was playing in Golden State.
Right, that's what I thought.
Against Houston and P.J. Tucker. And so, look, Tucker knows, and he caught a lot of flack, Rob, when he said after game two, Durant's unstoppable, he's unguardable, he's the best this, he's the best that. I think he said he's one of the best scorers, one-on-one scorers of all time. And Charles Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, they ripped him a new one. And I give him credit for going out and showing, hey, you know, I got heart. I was saying the truth. He was saying the truth. But I'm going to go out and give it my all. I thought he defended him well. But you're all right. If the refs don't let it get that physical, then I think Durant will be at the ball. But here's the thing, right? And you know this, and I had to say this on the air today. We talk about scrubs and bust and guys who can't ball and blah, blah, blah. Everybody in the NBA can play. And we said it last week, I believe, Rob. At some level, mostly college, everybody was a star in the NBA.
There's no way you made it to the NBA where you weren't some sort of star at some point during your life.
Right. And you were probably all world in most cases in high school. So these dudes can ball. And when the Nets role players this year, we've talked about it a lot this year, Rob. They've been great. Joe Harris, Nick Claxton, Bruce Brown. Heck, Mike James has come off a 10-day contract and played well. Jeff Green, like, their role players have been great. But, Rob, that's what happens when you put them around two or three superstars who draw so much attention. The problem to me now is now there's just one superstar. And so all the role players have moved up. Heck, I mean, I don't know. Is Blake Griffin capable of turning back the clock? I doubt it. So if he's not, then Joe Harris all of a sudden is the second scorer. And he ain't built for that. He's just not at this level. You know? And now Bruce Brown, instead of just hustle plays and little rebounds and good hyper defense and getting little buckets here and there around the basket, now I need 14 from you Bruce. Can you do that? I mean, they're not built for that. And that's the challenge that the Nets face, Rob, is that, you know, it's Durant and a bunch of pure-blooded role players. You know, yeah, okay, you can say Chris Middleton's not a superstar. He's not a superstar. Made a couple all-star teams. Drew Holiday made one all-star team. You want to say they're not stars? Okay. But they ain't pure-blooded role players either. They're really good. They're a notch below perennial all-stars. And so Milwaukee has the advantage. Rob, if you're right and Kate and Kyrie and or Harden is coming back, I'm with you. If you're wrong and they're not back, whew, it's going to take a heroic effort. Heroic. Well, from Kevin Durant.
And if somehow it's one of those legacy builders as well.
Absolutely.
Just say if they don't and he somehow gets them to win the two more games in advance, then his people will look at him differently. And even if those other guys, one of those guys come back and maybe they're not 100, but he goes off, Chris, and scores 42 or you know what I mean, and leads them where it's clearly like his other guy's out there, but he's the main guy. It's a great story for Kevin Durant. So we'll see how it plays out.
No, you're right. I agree. It's an opportunity. Like if he, let's say he leads them to this series victory, those guys don't come back, and maybe he carries them for two or three games against Philly, and then one of them comes back and they win the series. You know what I mean? As long as he doesn't get to the finals and get like outplayed by Kawhi or whatever, then he would be recognized as the best player in the world.
Oh yeah.
If he does that type of thing. Obviously there's a long way to go before he does all that. But, yeah, it's right there for the taking for him. All right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. Is it time to throw in the towel on Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets? We'll continue the conversation with you next. Are they done? Are they toast? Is it over? Let's go home. Let's go home, everybody. Your turn to weigh in, iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you are listening to The Odd Couple. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our man Vinny Goodwill, Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer, coming up in about six minutes. But until then, we want to hear from you. 877-99 on Fox. Are the Brooklyn Nets done because of injuries?
All right, let's kick it off with Kevin in Culver City. You're on The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Wow, you got the Sierra with the Petey Pablo. Must be Magic City Monday. Oh, my God.
Always.
Yep, you're right about that, my man.
You bring it back. Well, look, no way, no how are the Nets going to win without Kyrie or James Harden. It's very simple. Kevin Durant is going through what LeBron James went through when Anthony Davis got hurt with the groin, what Stephen Curry went through without Klay. Teams will blitz Kevin Durant when Kyrie's not on the court or James Harden, because they don't respect the others. Right. So the others that were making those shots with two other stars on the court, it's harder to be that other number two guy. So the scout report is put 3-2 guys on him. That's what you saw in the game against Milwaukee on Sunday, and just blitz him and don't let him get the shot off, because
yeah,
now,
but he they're not going to be able to be as physical in Boston. I mean, in Brooklyn. I don't believe they'll let them play that rough. I'm just going to warn you.
I don't think they will, but still, Kyrie, you got to respect that other guy on the other end of the court.
No, he's not.
No doubt. If you go hard on Kevin Durant, just like Curry and LeBron. It's really hard.
And Durant's not the playmaker. He's not the playmaker. He's not the playmaker that LeBron and Curry are either. Or
yeah, he needs somebody to get him the ball. He's got to.
I mean, he'll have the ball.
Get him the ball or Curry. So
he'll have the ball.
Really just, like, you know, facilitate like LeBron.
All right, Kev,
can, so
Kev, slow down. We can't.
Kev, don't listen.
You're not even listening to us.
I think he's on one-way radio. I think he got one-way radio.
I mean,
I don't think he was hearing this. He didn't sound like he was hearing this. That's for sure.
He couldn't have heard us. I mean,
he makes a deep, he makes a good point, but yeah.
No, I know, but we couldn't even get a word in. I've never heard Kev go like that. Have you?
No, I don't think he could hear us. It sounded like he couldn't hear us.
Lakeen in Florida, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Lakeen?
Yeah, Odd Couple. I've been listening for a long time. First time caller, man.
Oh, good to have
you, my man. Appreciate you.
I want to see Kevin Durant. I think, Rob Parker, you don't rip LeBron too much. And right now, Kevin Durant needs to prove himself because he's basically on a super team, but now he's two superstars injured. And you have to make it at least to the finals with a Curry.
I feel sorry for LeBron people who feel like this is your opportunity. No, that's what this is. And you know what? Kevin Durant better not win because then you won't have any argument, okay? He better not win.
I wouldn't rip him, though. But you know what? But Rob, I also like baseball, and you should have a baseball podcast, man.
Hold on, I have one. Lakeem, you can't go out with that type of whimper. I mean, Rob pushes back, and now you go to praising him on his baseball podcast, or did I miss something? It's like, uh-oh, Rob's pushing back. You know what? Your baseball podcast is spectacular, Rob. Is that what he said, or did he criticize it?
He said I should have one. I'm like, what? Inside the Parker. Every Thursday it drops on the Herd Podcast Network.
Okay. Now, look, I mean, KD...
And you know what? We got Michael Kay this week, Chris.
Oh, good. From the Yankees and the Yes Network.
Yes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And our next guest does a tremendous job covering the association for Yahoo Sports. He's a senior NBA writer there. Friend of the show, Vinny Goodwill. Vinny, what's up, brother?
What's up, Vinny?
What's going on, black man? How y'all doing?
We are great, man. We are great. Great to have you on. I'm going to get right to it. There was, when you saw Kyrie Irving go down on Giannis Antetokounmpo's ankle or foot and sprain his ankle, there were some that were calling and some reputable voices saying that that was a dirty play by Giannis. It should be something that the league looks at, just like when you land, you know, you don't give a jump shooter at the 3-point line landing space. I think that's BS. I don't know how you're going to play basketball if a guy can't, you know, essentially box you out or get in position to box you out underneath the basket. What's your take on it? Did you think it's something that was dirty and has to be governed by the league?
Look, y'all. I ain't played basketball in a long time, right? Like COVID and everything else. But that's like the cost of doing business when you play basketball.
Thank
it's a contact sport. Things happen. I know everybody's upset about the injuries, but guess what happens when you play basketball? There's a lot of arms and legs that flail around everywhere. I'm surprised it's not more ankle injuries like that because guys are just in such close proximity. The people who I've heard say that, I wonder if they just started watching the NBA when Brooklyn got an NBA team or something like that. Because, like, you're going to box a guy out. That's genuinely how things happen. I've seen a worse, you know, intentional foul that was called like a regular foul when I think LeBron shoved Joel Embiid and he landed hard on his back a couple months ago. And it's just a regular call foul. Why? Because it's basketball and things happen. I think people are kind of searching for something out of nothing there.
Vinny, what do you make of all the injuries in the playoffs? It has been a minefield in the NBA playoffs. So does it just seem like – I know, like, this year the NBA pushed back on the number of injuries, said it wasn't any more than normal, but it seemed like it. And in the playoffs, it seems like there have just been a lot of injuries, or at least to big-name stars. What do you make of the injury thing?
Rob, I do think it's – a little bit more than usual. And I think what's happened is, do y'all even remember an offseason after the bubble? Because I feel like it's gone straight from the bubble to the draft to like 2 weeks later, you know, teams were back in training camp. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what happened where you have like the end of two seasons rolling into one. And not that it's owed too much basketball during a regular season or anything like that. I just think it's one of those unfortunate occurrences. And the players agreed to this. Like, the league could have come back in January on Martin Luther King Day, but you going to tell the players to take a 30% pay cut? I bet you they weren't signing up for that. So while this is unfortunate, the back end of this is unfortunate. Like, nobody wants to see James Harden, then Kyrie, then Anthony Davis, and all these other, you know, guys go down to the point where we're going to see the NBA champion probably be the healthiest team as opposed to the best team. But they had to get through this adverse situation, and there were going to be, lack of a better phrase, there were going to be some casualties. Luckily, it's James Harden's hamstring. It's Kyrie Irving's ankle, like something that came up negative. Like, there aren't necessarily catastrophic injuries.
Right, like it's broken, he's out. Right.
It's just some things that's going to cost you to miss some time this season, but not something that's, you know, ACL, Achilles, something that's going to truly mess up your career.
Is there any sentiment within the league office beyond, you know, it's unfortunate and they just sad that it's happened, but, you know, as far as, I mean, I doubt this, but, you know, maybe delaying a little bit next year, whether it's training camp or, you know, start of the season. I doubt it'd be the start of the season. But you know what I mean? Like, giving the players, trying to get them a little more time because of the injuries, or no, they're just going to roll through it?
It is back to business as usual. Y'all are out in L.A., correct? When y'all look outside, does it look like there was a pandemic a few months ago or for the past year and a half? Like, it looks like the world is back cracking. Bad
all you
got
to do is see the 405 freeway to know that the world is back. I'm telling you, it is just a parking lot again. It just is.
Rob, you can just put the blow-up picture of your girlfriend next to you in the passenger seat and drive in the carpool lane.
Thank you. I can always count on
you. You're welcome. But Chris, to your point, next season will start in the middle of October. And if you guys remember, before the pandemic, the league was talking about starting the season on Christmas, going into the summer and everything else. And the pandemic and the bubble ratings, you know, from the finals in October told them, we are not going to be doing that. You need to get back on this October to April, April to June schedule. And I think that's the way that it's going to be next season. They already released the date, and that's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future. A lot of these teams, if you think about it, Chris, maybe you play a month longer than usual. But my thing is this, it's not necessarily load management during the season. You got to have some load management during the summer. Like, we, you know, Nike has the saying, basketball never stops, and everybody puts up, you know, the best pictures, the best videos of their, you know, summer workouts. But sometimes these guys need to sit down and let their bodies rest so they can have something during a regular season.
That's what the older players used to do back in the day.
Right. Yeah. They didn't play. Right. It's a lot, and you got trainers, and you're doing all this other stuff, and It's a lot. Hey, let's pivot to the Clippers and what happened over the weekend. They were down 0-2. They've been down before. Do you expect them to tie the series tonight?
Well, I can expect a whole lot of things, Rob, but I don't know if it's actually going to happen. I will say this. I am completely jaded by the fact that I want to spend the NBA Finals in L.A. with y'all. Like, I am making no bones about this. I want to be in L.A. during the NBA Finals, not in Salt Lake City. So I am hoping for the Clippers to tie the series tonight. But I do think I think they figured something out, defending Donovan Mitchell, slowing down that Utah offense when they started going to that zone in game two. They carried it over to game three. Who knows how Donovan Mitchell's ankle is. He gave the okay in the fourth quarter. He could have come back in, but the game was out of reach. But if we get a Paul George that plays like Paul George and not like, you know, a fourth option, I don't see how Utah is, from a top end, better than the Clippers. Now, from the low end, like from what you can depend on Rudy Gobert, you can depend on those shooters, but the Clippers' ceiling is higher. The problem is, who's going to fix their mouth to say the L.A. Clippers are going to do anything that you expect?
No, I get it. They've been up and down. If you're Phoenix, who would you rather see in the conference finals?
I think I'd rather see the Clippers because of the wild variances, right? Like, I don't know if I want to see Rudy Gobert defending the rim, because DeAndre Ayton is so good. Like, I think he's kind of going beneath the radar when you talk about Chris Paul and you talk about Devin Booker. Ayton is playing a different type of big man game where he's not necessarily flashy enough like the Joel Embiid or the Jokers, but he's up there with them as far as being able to be mobile and he can defend the rim, and they don't give up anything at the rim. So if I'm them, I would not want to play another big team. I would rather play, you know what, Kawhi, Paul George, let's see if you guys can play consistently to the level that we play at. They've won, what, 7 straight playoff games, I think, since they lost game 3 to the Lakers. They're on a roll right now, so they probably feel like if we can play consistently, like we don't have to play above our heads, we just have to play consistently. And asking the L.A. Clippers to do that, even if they get to the conference finals, that might be a sucker's bet.
The other thing, too, is I know, you know, you just said it, the Suns have won 7 games in a row. Everybody's ranting and raving. They have had some help with injuries and what's going on. I'm not taking anything away from it, but it seems a little bit, the drumbeat is a little loud considering that they've had, two stars, big-time stars on the two teams that they beat, not really be there. Is that fair to bring up or not?
Rob, you're like the equivalent of the person who says, you know, no disrespect intended, and then just goes
what?
And completely lays out the person, right? That's not what that seems like with Rob, Chris. He just sort of lays
every day.
But I do get your point. They have been aided by help, like I said, you know, a few minutes ago, that the team that wins is going to be the healthiest team by and large, not necessarily the best team. And yeah, if you got Austin Rivers and the other little fellow for Denver in the backcourt, yeah, that's lunch meat for Devin Booker and Chris Paul.
Right. Like, that's exactly what it was. Right.
So I do think that they've been aided by this, but I think there's an element of, remember Dallas when they beat Miami in 2011, and everybody was like, this is Dirk's best chance for a ring, and he had failed so many times. I think the drumbeat is loud because, A, there's no Lakers, and there's no brand that you can attach yourself to that you are so familiar with. So you attach yourself to the quote-unquote underdog story that makes you feel good. Everybody loves Monty Williams, including me. Now, I don't think Chris Paul
except for he won Coach of the Year.
Coach of the Year.
I voted for him for Coach of the Year. But here's the thing, Rob. When black coaches get Coach of the Year, there's like a pattern of like, it was like Avery Johnson, Sam Mitchell. The next year, them dudes fired. So I'm kind of glad that
Mike Brown,
Coach of the Year.
Mike Brown, Avery Johnson, Sam Mitchell. Yeah. And it happened to a couple of white guys, George Karl, I believe. But, yeah, it was a death. It was a death sentence for a while there.
So I think that's why people, you know, are latching on to Phoenix. And I think they're playing consistent basketball. Like, you can't take any – don't say you can't take anything away from them. But they're playing as well as they can play. And Devin Booker is basically announcing to the world, I am a star. I am here. I'm better than just an empty stats type of guy. He's a guy who could be NBA Finals MVP in the next month.
All right. That's our man, Vinny Goodwill. Check him out on yahoosports.com.
Vinny,
he's a senior NBA writer. Great stuff, brother.
Hey, appreciate y'all. Y'all take it easy.
All right, my man. All right. Luka Doncic. Is he already planning his escape from Dallas?
Wow.
We'll get into that next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
I'm a woman.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right. It is The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And if you're dealing with a dead battery, it happens every once in a while, then what you do is head on over to AutoZone. Don't get frustrated. Don't get flustered. Don't get upset. Don't get your panties in a bunch.
Uh-oh.
Just head on over to AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Yes, free. And so the next time you're having battery trouble, just do that. It's simple. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. All right, Rob. Someone who was in the zone in the first round of the playoffs was Luka Doncic. How's that for a segue?
Very nice. You sound like you've done radio for a couple years.
Thank you. I'm getting the hang of this. But there was an interesting story, Rob, in The Athletic today about how there's a kind of what they call a shadow GM. Here's the title of it. Inside the Mavericks front office, Mark Cuban's shadow GM is causing a rift with Luka Doncic. Now, it was a really good story. I encourage everyone to read it, theathletic.com. But basically it said there's this guy who was who made his reputation and his wealth as a gambler. And apparently had great success in betting NBA. And Mark Cuban brought him on as a member of the front office 3 years ago. His name is Bob Volgaris. And according to the story, Luka Doncic isn't fond of him. And so the story is just saying, hey, you know, could Dallas be on the verge of, you know, is Luka Doncic threatened, thinking about moving on? Now, he's eligible this summer for a 5-year, $200 million extension.
I guarantee you he signs it.
Yes. He even said after the season, you know, after the playoffs.
You
ended,
doubt it?
When
you
he
don't
was
doubt
asked
that
about,
for one
no.
second, right?
Well, here was his answer. I think you know the answer.
Right.
So he'd be crazy not to, because Rob, how many years did James Harden have left on his deal? Two full seasons.
Two full seasons, right.
Anthony Davis had a year and a half left on his deal, and they both forced their way out. And so, Rob, stars, no. Now, you have to be a certain type of personality, right? Harden just didn't care. He was like, look, I don't care about the public hit. I don't care about the backlash. I won out, right?
And I'll give Harden one piece of credit, Chris. Remember, Houston offered him 50. He could have signed on for another $50 million. Do you remember that?
2 years, $100 million, right?
Yes. And he could have done that and then, you know what I mean? And then
yeah,
forced his
I
way
agree.
Out. I give him, he didn't at least do that because that would have right. been wrong, don't you think?
If he had, signed it and then canceled it.
Yep.
Yeah, that would have been very, very wrong. And look, you would think he'd get that with Brooklyn. But
I'm just
I
saying,
agree. I mean,
it was on the table. It was there.
Yeah. And it just showed how much he wanted out of there and how much he wants to win. And really, since he's left, he's just shown how much he wants to win. But, you know, is Luka the type, Rob, to say, you know, force his way out after, you know, a few years into that deal? Maybe. The thing is this, Rob, and you know it. After a while, the pressure, once you reach such heights individually, then it almost becomes a negative if you don't at least get close to a championship, right? Like, Giannis is obviously great, and everybody views him as an all-time great. But if he doesn't win a championship, or at least, Rob, get to the finals within, like, the next 2 years, people are going to be looking at him sideways.
No doubt. I mean, because it is about winning, and it's not all about winning. We know Charles Barkley was a great player. He didn't win. But he got there, Chris.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was in contention. It wasn't like he never played
for anything. Right, he got to the finals, battled Michael Jordan.
Right. It wasn't like he never played for anything. He did. He just didn't win.
Well,
that's an interesting thing you bring up.
I mean, you bring up an interesting point that I don't think a lot of people think of. Most of the guys, the greatest players we mentioned that never won, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley, Elgin Baylor, they did at least get there.
Right.
Allen Iverson, all of them got to the finals.
It wasn't like they never, you know, sniffed it. You know what I mean?
Right. Steve Nash, but I don't put Steve Nash a Hall of Famer and worthy Hall of Famer. But I don't put him with those guys. You know, but he never got to the finals.
Right.
Harden has yet to be to the he got with Oklahoma City, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's kind
of one. Yeah.
He was young. I mean, he wasn't the driving force. But yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, Luka, it's too early to worry about him leaving, but it just shows that, you know, you have to build around him and get him in contention. And you know, I think it's good in a sense, Rob, because the players keep these teams honest. You know, you can't just relax and say, we got him, we don't have to build. 2 hours left, couple, lock it.